Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May the 11th of the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. Woo, baby. It's been a run. I'll tell you what. A run to the finish line for the sacred cause of liberty. We're always engaged in that. And boy, howdy, do we got a road to hoe still. But I've been on the road for 20 plus days. And wow, it's been crazy. But I'm finally back in the home studio and finally taking a little bit of a break. And man, it has been an incredible ride. A lot of God, family, and country. I can tell you that. Now, we haven't been live for the last several days either. And the reason why is because I've had some conflicts with scheduling. You know, the Eastern time zone, it's really hard to do things when you start the show. The show starts at 9 a.m. Eastern and ends at 11 Eastern. So it's, by the time you're done with the show and by the time you wrap up, the whole morning's gone. Before you know it, it's afternoon. And in the East Coast, it's hard to travel and make appointments and be places and do things and do the show at the same time. And so I've had some scheduling conflicts, but I did attend some incredible things, and I do have some fantastic sound bites from my road trip that I want to share with all of you, and I'll be sharing it over the next several days. There's too many clips to do them all in one day. We've got a lot to cover, but everything today has to do with the trip pretty much, and it was really, really a wonderful, wonderful time, and not just a time for me to spend on vacation. It wasn't totally a vacation. The first 10 days were broadcast oriented in that we went to Montevallo, Alabama, as you all know. We went to Las Vegas at the National Association of Broadcasters. That whole first 10 days was business for sure, every bit of it. The second portion of the trip, it was a family vacation to some degree, but I took the opportunity, as I always do, because my first love is God. My second love is my wife, who's really my first love on earth, right? So God, my wife, and then my family, my children. So I spent some time with God, family, and country. And I wrapped it all up. Everything I do in my life seems to be related to that in some way or the other. Serving family members, spending time with family members, celebrating their achievements and their life landmarks and all these kind of wonderful things. And so we took a trip and we flew to Florida and we went up the East Coast. And we spent some dear time with friends and family and loved ones. And man, it was just tremendous. And we ate a lot and we talked a lot and we cried and laughed a lot. And we just had a marvelous time. And I mentioned to you that I went to the oldest plantation in Florida. And man, it was an interesting plantation. As you know, I mentioned that in that plantation, the mistress was the slave owner's wife. Now, the slave owner was white, but his wife was black. He married a black woman. So you literally had a black mistress over slaves. That's right. You had a black mistress over slaves. Very interesting. And she had plenty of standing. I mean, for all intents and purposes, she ran the whole plantation. You know, he'd be off on business and traveling and doing different things. And for the most part, the plantation, as they put it in the, whatever you want to call it, presentation, they put it in her capable hands. Very interesting statement, right? But this man didn't believe in slaves, but he believed in slaves, right? I'm not sure how you believe in slaves and all black people should be slaves, but yet your wife is a black woman who runs a plantation. She's certainly not in the slave class, I'll tell you that, right? So very interesting dynamics, and I find those unique situations in history to make the point. Was slavery about whites over blacks, and whites are superior and blacks are inferior, and in many minds, I'm sure that was the case. Without question, need not even say, but wrongfully so, obviously, right? But what about the situations that I'm pointing to now? where you had a black mistress over the slaves. A black mistress running the plantation full of slaves. A black mistress who was the wife of the plantation owner. In a sense, I guess she owned the plantation too, right? Well, kind of, because back in those days it was different, see? In our world, she would have owned the plantation too, but in their world, she was kind of property. Whether she was black or white, just a woman made her property in those days, right? Is that right? Of course not. It's wrong. Nobody should be the property of another. Period. End of paragraph. Male, female, black, white, don't care. Nobody's the property of somebody else, right? You have a God-given inalienable autonomy under God Almighty. That's your destiny. That's your heritage. As a human, you are the offspring of Almighty God, is how the Bible articulates it, right? Okay, so I'm not here to disagree. I'm just here to tell you how it is. Anyway, what an incredible event that found that plantation was to see and learn about and understand. And, of course, we reject slavery. But many, 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 many of the movers and shakers of the day, political leaders, etc., you know, we all down them in modern history today as we look back through our lens. And we basically condemn them in many cases, liberals do at least, for their, they were slave owners, they were evil, they were horrible, they were bad. Well, what about the black mistress that was the wife of the plantation owner that ran the plantation in her capable hands, but she was black? What about her? And so oftentimes the slavery discussion was about slaves, one owning another, whether it be black, white, male, female. It was wrong. And I'm glad we're out from under that wrong in America. I'm grateful for that. But I'm also not willing to look back at those people as evil. Many of them were born into the system. Many of them knew that it was wrong, agreed that it was wrong, felt that it was wrong, believed that it was wrong, did everything they could to change that wrong to a right. You don't believe me? Well, George Washington had 123 slaves in his employ in, 1799 when he passed away, right? What was it, September 14th, I think, if memory serves? Okay, he had 123-plus slaves there, and he freed them all on his death. That's General George Washington. What about the black slave owner that I gave you the example of who married a black woman? He didn't just have children with her or whatever, Sally Hemings, whatever story where they try to manipulate history or whatever and condemn a founding father. He married her and made her the mistress of his plantation. What do you think of them apples? See, very unique history when you really study it. And I'm not in any way accepting or endorsing slavery of any kind. I'm completely against it. Okay, I don't care if it's, you know, blacks enslaving whites or whites enslaving blacks or females enslaving males or males enslaving females or any kind of fault line you can find that you could say one should lord over another. I reject it all. Let me be very clear. I reject it all, ladies and gentlemen. But I will say it was the sign of the times. It was the reality they lived in. They were born into this system. And does it mean that it's okay? Of course not. But does it mean that you can't change societal reality? What about in my day? Okay, let's compare this. What about in my day? What's the greatest evil we have in our day? Their day was slavery, right? What's the greatest evil in our day? I would submit to you that abortion is. Well, they would say, well, man, abortion, Sam Bushman on his watch, you know, abortion was fine. Yeah, Sam spoke out against it, but he really didn't do anything to stop it. See how you can look back at that lens in history and make me look bad, even though I've done everything that I could to reject abortion. But societally, I was born into the murderous plans. Look, man, I was born in 1967. Roe versus Wade happened in 1973. I was all of 6 years old when it happened. Right? I can't have any fault or blame or a responsibility for that. Nevertheless, I was born into it, so to speak, and I reject it, you know, but in our day, we can be a whole lot more vocal than in their day. A woman spoke out against something in her day, and she was a property of another. How can she, okay? The murdered babies aren't speaking out, are they? See, so it's a very sordid history to a great degree, and we can look at the negatives in history. We can condemn those who are in certain circumstances related to that history. But, you know, it was a caste system that no doubt is not acceptable, but it is what they were born into. And you got to look at the sum of their lives of what did they do to change the game. A man like a George Washington that freed his slaves upon his deathbed. Hey, that's huge, right? In my opinion, it really shows the character of the man. The other thing is that George and Martha, comparatively speaking, from what I understand, were very good to the slaves. Many of them were taught to read and write. Many of them had all kinds of, I don't know what you want to call it, increased privileges. Sometimes a black man was overseer over the slaves. How does that work when a black man's graduated overseer of fellow black men and he continues that? And he gets greater meal privileges or whatever you want to say, increased nutrition for him and his family or increased protection, or how does that all work? I don't know. All I'm telling you is that Florida plantation was fascinating to learn about. It really was indeed interesting, to say the least. And I talked about it a little bit last week when we went there, but I wanted to just kind of double down and talk about it a little bit more in comparison to the debates of today. I'm glad for the positive changes in America, but man, we've made plenty of gains. Women are not near as abused and treated as property as they once were. That's wonderful. I'm glad women have equality to a great degree now. Black people had, now I'm glad they have a great degree of equality. But let's not reverse discriminate. Let's not go the other way too far. Let's not let the pendulum swing negatively. Let's be wise and look at history. But I'm also feeling like we've got a lot of setbacks in our modern day America, too. A lot of the blacks are slaves in their government-controlled, government-ran project communities, right? That's a tragedy. Women now are, on one hand, free. On the other hand, they've been turned into sex objects. In some ways, you got that slavery above them. We're all slaves to the IRS. Look out for that, folks. When we come back, though, I want to talk about God, family, and country, shall we? On your radio in seconds.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Man, I do my very best, ladies and gentlemen, to stick with the topics at hand, but sometimes I get derailed. That plantation was so riveting, so educational, that I just had to double down and explain, really, the true history of America. When you study it, it's shocking. You got women and black women and black men literally over slaves. And, you know, in that system, they were all born with it. They all lived with it. And I'm glad it's been changed. We should celebrate that change for the better. We should celebrate the change for women for the better. But we should not let the pendulum swing too far the other direction. Now people don't even know if they're a man or a woman, for heaven's sakes, right? Well, we talked last Thursday when we were live about the National Day of Prayer. Please pray for our constitutional republic was the plea at the time. That plea remains now. We also talked about the fact that it was after watching a sports film facing the Giants, the Joseph Kennedy. Then a new coach for the Bremerton High School football team in Washington State was inspired to pray. Now he's in a court battle of his life. High school football coach fired for praying on the field. The justice is debating whether his religious practices were coercive or constitutionally protected. I pray for Joseph. We also talked about this prayer that Dave Butts gave. He's chairman of the board for the National Day of Prayer Task Force and president of Harvest Prayer Ministries. We read the prayer that he led for Americans in America. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God's authority is above and our Constitution is above the authority of any man or group of men or women, regardless of their political office or claimed authority. Ladies and gentlemen, it's really important that we understand that. Why do I go from slavery to this? Because man introduced slavery, ladies and gentlemen, not God. Right? And man today lead us off the rails just as easy as they did back in the slavery days. Just a different topic. What's better, slavery or gender euphoria, where little girls don't even know if they're girls? Young men don't know if they're men. Because the media and the propaganda perverts things to the point where, wow, boy howdy. Wait, can I say boy howdy? I gotta say girl howdy? Wait, I need a gender non-binary pronoun for that. What would you say for that? Them howdy? All right, I don't know. See what I mean? It's just, okay, is it worse for slavery? Is that worse? To literally mutilate the genitals of a young person that's not even accountable before God. And certainly not accountable in our society where you gotta be 18 years old to even... what, die for your country? You got to be 21 years old to drink or smoke or whatever. You got to be 16 years old to drive, 18 to vote, whatever, right? But you can be 5 and get a sex change, get a gender-modifying, irreversible surgery. Okay, this is what I mean. Are we worse off or better today? It's hard for me to say. In some ways, we've come a long way, baby, and wonderful so to women and the African-American population. I think we've come a long way for the better. Wonderful. When it comes to murdering the babies amongst us, the most innocent among us, when it comes to gender euphoria or gender manipulation or propaganda or turning women into sex objects, I think we're as bad off as we've ever been. I mean, at least in their day, I'm not saying there was never a scandal, but it certainly wasn't, normal. Nowadays, you can catcall women and you can whatever. In those days, you had to be polite and even to call on a woman. You know, you'd need to kind of be introduced to her or something. It would be presumptuous to, right? Where have we come? We're certainly not better off, are we? Anyway, very interesting indeed. I'm going to get to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints temple. I went through that temple, that open house. I know we covered it a week or two ago about how a lot of dignitaries and congressmen and senators and rich and famous people, entertainment people, etc. We're all going through the Washington, D.C. temple. It's a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints temple open house. And we covered it. And then I mentioned that I was going to go. Well, I did go. And I took, I did a soundbite while I was finishing my tour of that temple that I want to play for you guys in the next segment. I was going to do it this segment, but I'm not going to get to it. Obviously, I talk too much and get too derailed and I digress and everything else. But, you know, hopefully it'll be educational and entertaining. And hopefully when I switch topics, it won't be too confusing for y'all. But we'll get to that. I was also in, Charleston, South Carolina. Is that what it is? Yeah. I was there, man. It's one of the most riveting historical cities I've ever been to. It was just incredible. We went on a horse carriage tour. And the guide did a good job. And I played back some of the audio from that event or that guide tour last week, I think it was. But I want to talk a little bit more about it because there was some interesting things that were mentioned that I did not get on my interview or my chronologue of that, if you will. And there's some terms that I found fascinating. Do you know what a single home tax is, Cameron? Neither did I. Do you know what a frontage tax is, Cameron? Well, neither did I. Do you know what a windows tax is, Cameron? Neither did I. Yeah, man. No, not Windows like on your computer, buddy. Come on now. They didn't have them computers back then. A frontage tax literally had to do with, in back in the day, the colonial times, the way they would tax your home is by how much frontage your home had. Frontage meaning how much faced the street of your home. Right? Do you have a really wide home where a lot of it's on the frontage? Or do you have a really narrow home where there's a lot of limited frontage? Well, they had what they called single homes. And what that meant was the homes were very, very narrow. In other words, getting the least amount of frontage they could get, one room wide. And then the homes went very deep back into the lot. And the reason why is because they were taxed on how much frontage their home used of the street. And so if you had a two, you know, double wide or what, triple wide, two or three or four rooms in the front, you're going to be taxed big time. If you had only one room in the front, a narrow room, and then your home went back deep, in other words, then your taxes would be less. That's what a frontage, a single home, a frontage tax is. A window tax is, we're going to tax your home on how many windows you have, Cameron. Yeah. You know, now, some houses, you've ever heard of a glass house, right? I mean, I lived next to some neighbors growing up. They had a glass house almost. I'm telling you, every room was just window everywhere. They would have been taxed beyond imagination. But they did. They had a windows tax. How many windows do you have? Or sometimes it would be a frontage combined with a windows tax. How many windows do you have across the front of your home? See, I've got one window across the front of my house. That's it. See, I wouldn't be taxed very hard, see? How many windows are across the front of your house, Cameron? You got more than one, don't you? Four? Whoa. See, buddy, you're going to be taxed big time, bro. Yeah, that taxed Cameron out of existence. I just say, see, this is weird stuff. Stuff I've never even heard of. The ways to tax are kind of like the ways to sin. They're endless. It's just, wow. Anyway, so I learned about a single home tax, a frontage tax, a windows tax, right? I learned about that from that carriage ride. I didn't know they had such things. I really didn't, folks. I mean, I had no idea about that kind of stuff. And it just goes to show that, you know, we seem to romance yesteryear as if it was something awesome and there were no negatives. They had a lot of problems in their time, too. They had a lot of, no doubt the revolution was because of a lot of these problems, right? So let's not romance ourselves into thinking things were wonderful then and everything was free then and now we're just tyrannical and everything was free before, but, oh, you know, we've lost a lot. There's truth to a lot of that. There really is. And they never had near as many laws on the books as we have and, you know, they could have never written a book in their day about how many felonies you commit without even knowing it every single day and all this kind of stuff. But they had a lot of problems in their day, too. They had the frontage tax. They had the windows tax. They had the single home tax. They had a lot of rules in their city, too. And they had a lot of tyrannical things that were very frustrating for them as well. Why do I bring this up? It's because history is so rich and so fascinating and so interesting. But I also bring it up in addition to that because I want us to realize that let's not just live in the past thinking they were free and we're tyrant. You know, in our world, it's all tyranny. And there's no hope for us in the future. There was hope for them and there's hope for us now. And the greatest hope is in religious freedom. The greatest hope is in that we can move the needle. I mean, they didn't in their day have the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org either, to fight taxes at every single level. A think tank with funding and guidance to help you reduce taxes and create tax accountability in your area, in your sphere. So we've got a lot of tools they never had as well. Let's romance our time for a bit and say we've got a lot of freedoms. And let's spend our time being the heroes that retain those liberties, just as our founders did. Shall we? All right, my review of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Temple open house coming up in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
According to AAA, the national average for a gallon of regular gasoline set a new record today at $4.40 a gallon. That's up 3 cents from yesterday and up $1.42 over last year at this time. And this driver tells NBC News,
"They're ridiculous, man. Can't, you know, seem like you're working for gas."
A 15-gallon fill-up costs around $21 more this year than last. An escaped inmate is back behind bars in Alabama. Casey White was arraigned last night after arriving from Indiana. That's where he was caught Monday with the corrections officer accused of walking him out of jail on her last day of work. Vicky White, no relation, shot herself in the head as police closed in and died hours later. It's believed they had a romantic relationship for at least 2 years. USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
New developments overnight on the war in Ukraine. The country has stopped the flow of gas from a Russian pipeline to Europe. This is affecting one of two key entry points. The natural gas pipeline operator says it handles nearly a third of Russian gas passing through Ukraine, which has been a major route since Russia invaded 11 weeks ago. The suspension is due to interference from occupying forces, including the apparent siphoning of gas. Election results are in from two state primaries. In Nebraska, Jim Pelin beat out eight other candidates to win the Republican nomination for governor. Charles Herbster was one of them. He's been accused of groping several women and conceded the race. In West Virginia, the former President Trump-endorsed candidate, Representative Alex Mooney, won the GOP primary in the 2nd District. He was up against another incumbent for the only House seat available. The Pennsylvania primary set to take place next week. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. It is about God, family, and country on this broadcast, and I'm doing my best to kind of summarize the incredible road trip we had, 22-plus days on the road, just incredible. And I went to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints open house. All the big dignitaries and, you know, famous people and congressmen and senators and very well-connected people went. And, you know, it's free to go. So if you want to go, please do. You can sign up and go. Anyway, I went, and it was an incredible experience. And here's my thoughts as I exited the temple event.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman broadcasting live from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. I'm actually in Maryland, Kensington, Maryland, and I'm at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints open house for the temple. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints temple, it's considered the Washington, D.C. temple. And I'm just exiting the doors now. There's a large, large, incredible crowd, by the way. It's a wonderful, cool, rainy Saturday morning. It's absolutely beautiful. And I wanted to describe the tour for those who may not be able to make it to Washington, D.C. But for those who can make it, it is a must do. It is free. You can go to churchofjesuschrist.com. dctemple.org to get tickets. I think the website's dctemple.org as well that you can go to. dctemple.org. And it's an incredible experience to behold, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that is very interesting. You put coverings over your feet when you enter the temple, because it's such a sacred, hallowed ground, if you will. Anyway, so we drove to the temple, and when you do so, you get on the beltway, and when you drive, instantly the beltway can be seen. Or, I'm sorry, when you're on the beltway, the temple can be seen, and it's absolutely stunning, beautiful. It just appears. One second it's not there, one second it's there. It's a beautiful building at night, from what I understand. It's lit up.
Okay,
and very beautiful.
Okay.
Temple that you can see. In the day it's beautiful, in the night it's even more beautiful. It's lit and it's lighted up as a symbol of Christ. Anyway, it's a very rainy day today, but as we went into the temple, you first go in and you go all the way downstairs to the basement floor of the temple, where they have a baptismal font. And the baptismal font is on 12 oxen, representing the 12 apostles of Christ. And in these temples, they do baptisms for the dead. As I mentioned before, that is scriptural. It is in the Bible, where they talk about where would we be without our dead. So there are baptisms for the dead. It's so that everyone has an opportunity to be baptized. And it's done by proxy. So living men and women are baptized for their ancestors. It's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. So we started out in the baptismal font, which is basically the first ordinance of the gospel. You first exercise faith under repentance, and then you are baptized for the remission of sins, and then you have the laying on of hands to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so it's one of the first ordinances. And as you continue going through the temple, you continue to rise. Not only do you go up, representing returning to our Heavenly Father, but you also increase in light. In other words, light, knowledge, and understanding of the Savior's teachings. And as you go up and experience greater light and greater height, you make covenants along the way. Covenant is a two-way promise. We promise that we'll keep the commandments of God as given to us. And God promises us that one day, if we remain faithful and keep the commandments and enduring to the end, that we can live with Him, meaning God our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, once again. And so it's a great opportunity. And as we go through the beautiful temple, it's very symbolic. Everything on the walls, everything... the murals, the paintings, the pictures, the ornamented building, all points to things that relate to Christ and to our discipleship as we follow Christ. And in the temples we make these covenants, and eventually the pinnacle is a room where you have the opportunity to reflect on the Savior, called the celestial room. In the Bible, We're taught about 3 degrees of glory: the moon, the sun, and the stars. The sun being the celestial, if you will. And there's a room nicknamed the celestial room, or called the celestial room, that lets you reflect on your relationship with Christ and lets you focus on your life's mission relating to your discipleship of Christ. And when you reflect there, then eventually you go to the ultimate covenant you make, which is marriage forever. And so you make eternal covenants as husband and wife to be married for time and for all eternity. That's the pinnacle of the Mormon temple view. So you go there with the purpose of learning about Christ. You become like Christ as you learn of Christ's plan, of God's plan for each of us. And if you, as you commit to follow the plan, you make covenants and agree with the Lord to do the best you can for certain things. And in return, your Father in heaven makes a covenant promising us blessings if we keep His commandments He will bless us and protect us. And eventually one day we can live with him again. It's a very biblical view. We started with our Father in heaven. We come to earth to get a body, to learn to keep his commandments. And then we return to our Father in heaven once again if we're faithful and willing. Well, the temple symbolizes that very plan. And everything in the temple that is done honors that. It is not secret, but it is indeed very sacred, holy ground, if you will. And the symbols, the teachings, everything is congruent with this plan of our Father in heaven for his children to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Now we're outside of the temple, and I didn't want to broadcast in the temple. It's too sacred of a place. So I summarized on our way out, but now we're standing by a body of water. It's a pool, a fountain of water, very beautiful. It's a cool day outside, but it's a very spiritual, sacred experience when you go to the temple, the feelings that you experience, and the closeness to God you can feel if you're willing to be quiet and still and pay attention to those feelings. Anyway, Mormons are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mormon is just a nickname, as you know, but the Church of Jesus Christ has had temples ever since its restoration. And it really echoes back to the temple of old that was documented in the Bible. And these temples today represent that. And there are hundreds of temples now around the world which symbolize these same things. And in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints religion, there are meeting houses, which are just church buildings, where people gather together in congregations called wards. A group of congregations is called a stake. So there are two main buildings in the church. We're actually three crucial buildings. One is stake centers, which is another name for wards houses or congregation houses or church buildings. The second one are temples, which we've just been describing, the temples in which covenants are made and eternal marriages are performed, baptisms for the dead by proxy are performed. So when I go through the temple over and over and over, I'm doing baptisms for those who can't do it for themselves. I'm not doing it for myself. The temple is a very selfless act of service. Every time you attend, the first time you go for yourself. Every time thereafter you go through for someone else by proxy, in an effort to help all mankind to receive the covenants that our Father in heaven wants to give us. Anyway, so there's church buildings where you go to church and have congregations. There's temples where you make sacred and you make and keep sacred covenants. And then there's our homes, the family home. The family is the center of the church, or the center of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you will. The church is in support of the family. So the third crucial building for members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is our homes, home-based church. Home-based learning. It's where husbands and wives teach their children about the gospel of Christ. It's where learning and love and the teaching of the next generation takes place. Homes are also a very sacred thing. Anyway, that's my summary of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints temple and the opportunity that I had to go through that temple. DCTemple.org. And if anybody wants to go ahead and learn more about it, you can do so. Anybody who wants to enter can do so as well. And you can attend the temple open house yourself. After the open house, after everybody has a chance to go through and learn about what's done in the temples, remember they're sacred, not secret. After everybody has a chance to learn about what's done in the sacred temples of our God, then a dedication, a sacred prayer takes place, and the temple is dedicated. And then only members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who have made covenants and promises, who have a temple recommend, are allowed to go into the temple at that point because of the sacred nature and the covenants made and hopefully kept in those sacred temples.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for all my breathing in that. As I listen back, I go, wow. Sam, I was hiking up and down stairs and going through doorways and going inside and outside, and I was doing all these different things during the interview, so sorry about my breathing. I'm literally hiking around while I'm telling you my experiences in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Temple. Quick pause, more in seconds on your radio.
many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello? Those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, a shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a bunch of sound bites from my different events and stuff like that. I'm also using a tape recorder to record all these. It's not as good as quality of audio. The microphone is designed to pick up everything around you. And as a result, it picks up my breathing as I'm hiking around and doing different things. And I'm not just basically in a broadcast studio or whatever. I'm literally out and about in the places that I'm talking about. I had the chance to visit the National Archives, and here's what happened.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in the National Archives building of the United States of America in the nation's capital. And we're able to come in. It's not very crowded. It's a super rainy day, but it's just amazing inside. We went and saw the different ratifications of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution from different states, but then there's the originals. And the original Declaration of Independence is very, very faded, very hard to read. But you can see it under glass. They won't let you take any pictures, no photography at all in the room. But we saw the Declaration of Independence. We saw the Bill of Rights. Then we saw the Constitution for the United States of America. The Constitution is broken out page by page in separate cases. So you've got the seven articles, and then you've got the separate broken out signatures page where you can see all the signers of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Very neat display, very interesting. You know, remember, though, when it comes to these important documents, no doubt it's fascinating to see the originals. No doubt the preservation thereof is very important. But understand that, you know, the Constitution handbook that you may have in your hand that you get from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association or other groups, patriot groups, the Constitution booklet that many sheriffs keep in their pocket or patriots that keep in their pocket to have at a moment's notice to refer to, that is just as valid as the original documents. And understand, even more important than the original documents and or the replica that you may have in your hand, what's really important is the principles written in the hearts and minds of Americans, the application of the checks and balances, the knowledge of the principles that are taught in the Declaration of Independence, the separation of powers, the jurisdictional checks and balances, the laying out of responsibilities, the not only laying out of responsibilities, but what's not laid out as a responsibility by nature is not a responsibility. So when we read the presidential responsibilities, we understand that, hey, that's the responsibility of the president. But all other powers, authorities, etc., are delegated to some other branch, some other jurisdiction of government. That's just as important to remember. And so as I reflect on the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution for the United States of America, I understand these checks and balances. I understand this jurisdictional separations. I understand that from the Declaration of Independence, they derive their just power from the consent of the governed. That means that they all get limited pieces of power, dual sovereignties between the states and the federal government, the separation of powers between all three branches of government. These things are critical to understand. And as we reflect on these precious documents, we need to realize that it's in the hearts and minds of a moral, religious population where these principles can take root and prosper, and where, if we're not very careful, we can lose our liberty. You know, even if we were to have the complete loss of the original Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution, the documents have been preserved for us thanks to modern printing presses and capabilities to where, you know, we all have a copy. Now the question is, will it be written in our hearts and in our minds? Will we, the people, insist on these principles? Will we insist on the appropriate delegation of authority? Will we insist on jealously guarding our authority based on we, the people, based on the given states, based on the general government, this limited authority, based on the checks and balances and the separation of powers? Will we have this continually before us? Our founding fathers, when asked what kind of government we have, they said, you have a republic if you can keep it. They're talking about the preservation of these principles. If you, meaning we, the people, understand and preserve these things and insist on jealously guarding our liberties, insist on the checks and balances, insist on these principles, then we shall have success. Without it, we're in serious trouble. So although I revere the documents that we just are able to see right here in the National Archives, I also want to make it very clear that they're important. We should protect them, but it is not essential. What is essential is that we understand and preserve these principles, and that we, the people, do it. It's not an individual discussion. It's a collective discussion. We, the people, refers to a collective. But we also need to realize that a collective is made up of individuals. Individuals either have an education, and they're educated to become this great educated collective, this great moral religious collective, or we individually are not educated, and then the collective is simply lost because the individuals that make up the collective have lost their education and therefore their liberty. Just as the family is the fundamental unit of society, the population is the collective of we, the individual, educated Americans who can preserve liberty individually and as a country.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the audio in that. I listen to my breathing and I'm just mortified. It's just like, oh my goodness gracious. But again, I'm hiking around, I'm walking around, I'm going up and down stairs, I'm with people, and I'm carrying things, and anyway, we're doing the best we can to bring these things to you really live as they really unfold on my trip, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know if you know, but you go into there and you think, man, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the originals are so sacred, and they literally don't even bring the original documents out. The ones that you see under lock and key are really replicas, because the originals are so faded, so I don't know what you want to call it, old, that any time you expose sunlight to them, it just destroys the documents and such like that. But what happens if we lose these documents? Have we lost something? We've lost some historical relevance for sure, but I don't believe we've lost what really matters. That is the view in the hearts and minds of the people. I don't know if you know, but there's a movie about this, ladies and gentlemen, called National Treasure. It's a 2004 movie, The Declaration of Independence. And what happens is, there's a plot summary from IMDb Riley and Ben attempt to convince Abigail that somebody is attempting to steal the Declaration of Independence because of an invisible treasure map on the back. They tried to visit the or convince the FBI and the Department of Justice and everything and failed. Abigail doesn't believe them and kicks them out as well. Anyway, it's an interesting movie. It's not real, but it's sure fun and interesting. And on one hand, you think it's ridiculous. On the other hand, it's a great movie. Have you seen the movie National Treasure, Cameron? All right, you got to see the movie National Treasure, my friend. It's kind of a fun movie. And it, in a way, it's preposterous. Some of the things that happen on the on one hand are preposterous. But when you really kind of take a deeper look at this movie, number one, it's a lot of fun to watch. And so I watched it that night after visiting the National Archives because the scenes are just so, man, I was just there. That was cool kind of a thing. I've known about the movie for a long time. We've seen it plenty of times. I've probably seen it, I don't know, five or six times myself. It's a great movie. But anyway, I bring it up because, you know, the idea of it maybe being stolen in the way that it was. And anyway, Ben and Riley steal it because they've got to stop the real thieves from stealing it. And anyway, I don't want to ruin too much of the story. But the reason that I tell you all about this, about National Treasure, is because really, is the Declaration of Independence, is the Constitution, is the Bill of Rights being stolen in our time? Not physically, not the paper, not the actual document, maybe, but is it being stolen because of the education or lack thereof in government schools? Is it being stolen because of the derision of the media and the propaganda by the media and the government and the major? Is it being stolen by presidents and courts and congressional groups and violating their oaths of office and violating the checks and balances that made them? Are we losing it? Is it being stolen from us by all means necessary, so that in the hearts and minds of the people of the next generation, they know not their heritage, they know not their history, they know not the sacredness and the value of the Founding Fathers' quest to bring about a Declaration of Independence, to bring about a Constitution with checks and balances, to bring about the greatest country on the face of the earth, to bring about a light on a hill, right? Is it being stolen from us through so many other ways and other means? And really, this movie, although it's a lot of fun to watch, really kind of, in my mind, brings that to your attention. And as I highlight this, wow, the National Archives, you can hardly even read the documents, folks. Are they being lost physically? Are they being lost spiritually? Are they being lost fundamentally or figuratively in our minds and in our hearts of we the people individually and the collective? And is it being done intentionally to steal it from us? Well, I believe the answer is a resounding yes. And it is my prayer that we change that. It is our efforts on the Loving Liberty Radio Network that we change that. Thus, the lineup of incredible talk show hosts around the clock and podcasters around the clock bring America to life. Focus on what we're losing. And most importantly, focus on solutions to how we can bring it back. Look, all is not lost. Okay? Neither was in this incredible movie, The National Treasure, or National Treasure 2004. You know what? Good people are doing good things. And I believe that there are those who will try to steal our liberties from us, steal our Constitution, steal our Declaration of Independence, steal our Bill of Rights, steal our scriptures, steal the things that make men and women greater than they are by turning to God Almighty. Okay, they're going to try to steal all that from us. But if you believe in George Washington's vision, as I do, they will not succeed, ladies and gentlemen. Good people like Ben and Riley and eventually Abigail and Ben's father and others do come to the rescue. And we do preserve the nation. We do preserve liberty as we await our Savior's return. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful blessing that knowledge, that hope is. And what a wonderful opportunity it is to be part of the solutions at lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. Lovingliberty.net, free radio, free education, free opportunities, all available at your fingertips with ways that you can participate in the solutions as well. I am Sam Bushman. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. We the people declare, God save the Republic. This nation shall endure.